This is the Everything EV Podcast by EV Powered.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Everything EV Podcast, a weekly show that brings you the latest news, views and opinions from every corner of the EV industry. I'm your host, Charlie Atkinson, and in these episodes we'll be discussing everything to do with electric travel, so whether it be cars, bikes, boats or even planes, we'll have it covered. We'll also be speaking to people from within the industry to get their views on the EV space, as well as other features such as electric car reviews, electric motorsport coverage, and much, much more along the way. This podcast is available on all streaming platforms, so be sure to subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from to receive every single episode as soon as it's released. And please do go back and check out all our other episodes too. This week, we're joined by Rory Traher of Vita, a technology company that develops high-performance electric boats. Rory is here to share the story of Vita and how it is transforming the marine tech industry, whilst also analysing the challenges that comes with electrifying boats. Rory, thanks for joining us on the Everything EV podcast today. Like I said, I appreciate this is a bit last minute and you've jumped on, so I appreciate you taking the time. Now, just first things first, I just wanted to get a bit of an idea as to what Vita really is. So for people out there that might not have heard about the company before, What is the story behind Vita, the mission of the company, and also what's your background as well, and how did you become involved with the company?
Well, thanks for having me, Charlie. It's great to be on. So I'll start with a bit of my background. I was brought up in Cornwall on the south coast of the UK, and have very much sort of been in and around the sea from the beginning. My career in the boating industry started post-university when I joined Edmiston, which is one of the big sort of all-service super yacht brokerage companies. So I joined them down in Monaco in 2008, initially within the sales side, but then moved across the marketing side and was head of marketing with them for about 4 years. So I was with them for a total of 8 years. And then I really sort of wanted to see how the knowledge that I'd gained through them and also my kind of passion for the marine industry could be applied in different ways. So I spent about 4 years. I set up a company called Foil with a friend of mine, and it was a consultancy business. And we really just advised a really broad range of companies within the yachting industry and outside about sort of growing brand and raising awareness and supporting the commercial side and business development. I think the most interesting side of that was actually working with companies who are outside the industry who wanted to understand it more. The super yacht sector is a pretty intriguing environment, as is the marine environment for anyone who's not in it. And so it was fascinating to see what these other companies were endeavoring to find out. And ultimately it was about accessing the same sorts of clients. So there was a lot of synergy there. I then joined Vita about 3.5 years ago, and it was really a meeting with the founder of Vita through a mutual friend, and an opportunity for me to sort of segue into a much more sort of environmentally focused and sustainable aspect of the marine industry. So Vita is. Well, I describe it as a marine technology company. At our core, we develop high-performance, all-electric propulsion systems. But we're probably better known for our fully electric boats, which we've really ended up developing and engineering, designing ourselves to kind of speed up the awareness and adoption of electrification within the marine industry, which is a very conservative sector on the whole. So yeah, we've ended up developing a range of boats from some 5.5 up to over 10 meters. But really at our core, it's about the powertrain and the technology.
Yeah. So can you just explain those two sides of the business then, really? You talk about the powertrain and the technology and the boats as well. How much of the business is dedicated to one side or the other, or is it quite an even split?
So no, we've got a team of about 50 people. 80% of them are on the technology side, on the engineering side, and that's a range of guys and girls who are designing and engineering our low voltage and high voltage systems and software, and then obviously building those systems and installing them in boats. So So that really makes up the majority of the business. The boat building, well, we don't build boats ourselves. We outsource the build to third parties, and we also engage with third party designers and naval architects as well. So really the crux of our business and the crux of our team remains very much sort of technology and engineering focused.
Okay. And you said you've been at Vita now for about three and a half years, but having grown up in, like you said, in the sort of the marine sector and the super yachting sector, how early did electrification and electric propulsion for boats come onto your radar? Because I'll be honest, I mean, I've been working for EV Powered now for just over, well, coming up to 3 years, and the world of electric boats is relatively new to me. So I'm just wondering how long ago that came onto your radar.
It's a good question. It really only probably came onto my radar in a way that sort of became really sort of interesting and sort of caught my attention probably about a year prior to joining Vita. This is quite an early stage market. And despite having been in it for 3 and a bit years, you know, some of the principal players within it haven't been around for that long either. So we as a collective, it's very much a sort of, you know, community, I would say, at this early stage, because we're all sort of pursuing a similar goal, is relatively small, and we're trying to build the market and raise awareness sort of each step of the way.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that there's a sort of community to it, because I was first made aware of Vita at the Monaco Energy Boat Challenge earlier this year, and I thought that event was amazing because it there was sort of a big startup mentality to everything there, and like you said, it did feel sort of the early stages, and you're all pulling in the same direction for that. I don't know if you were at the Energy Boat Challenge, but it was quite an amazing event to attend.
Yeah, we've attended, I think, as a sort of known builder of electric powertrains and you know, commercially ready boats, I think we've probably been the longest standing exhibitor there and partaker. So yeah, now I've been about 4 years now. What's really cool about that event is about 80% of the focus is on students developing both solar, hydrogen, and electric boats. And there's this real kind of groundswell of young, super enthusiastic, technology-minded kids, it's probably a bit patronizing, you know, students who are really, really keen to get involved. And so it's that brilliant dynamic of kind of us at the pointy business end of it, trying to commercialize it, and these guys just really kind of pushing the boundaries in terms of what they can do at a technology level at their level with you know, the understandable limitations of doing it as a university or student project. But it's a really cool event, and credit to Monaco and the Yacht Club for doing something innovative. It's also a really nice alternative to boat shows, which, you know, again, I've been unfortunate enough to be going to boat shows for the best part of 15 years. But if I went to a show 3 or 4 years ago, the interest and an understanding of electrification was very low, and we received a lot of resistance. We had the Monaco Yacht Show a couple of weeks ago, and it was very, very different. You know, most of the manufacturers were proactively looking to release electric versions or bring out an electric range, and we're seeing increasing demand from customers to have an alternative to, you know, to internal combustion. So that was really good to see, and really encouraging that there's kind of much broader awareness and a willingness to embrace this technology in the marine sector.
Yeah, that's probably a good indication of the electric vehicle industry as a whole, really. Like you said, I mean, even when you focus on cars, I mean, the last couple of years, the EV industry has really, really taken off. And like you said, now that at the Monaco Yacht Show, electrification is becoming so much more important and at the forefront of people's minds, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think everything that's happened in the electric car market is only helping us, you know, from a component and technology standpoint. A lot of the kit that we put into our boats and same with our competitors is has sort of been born from automotive, so that's seriously helped us in terms of our sort of collective ability to advance the adoption and the integration of these systems into boats. But equally, you know, 10 years ago, no, not many people at all drove electric cars. Now, a lot of the people that we talk to do drive electric cars, and they understand the interaction with the charging system. They understand the benefits of electrification in an automotive environment, they see how it can be applicable to marine, and that's a really, yeah, that whole dialogue is just so much easier now because of the adoption on the automotive side.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wanted to ask about the sort of perception of electric boats in that industry. Again, it's all relatively new to me, but if we compare it back to electric vehicles, obviously there's a big sort of legacy and heritage issue that goes against the EV industry. There's a lot of old school petrol heads that push back against electric vehicles. Does that exist in the electric boat industry at all? Or like you said, is it got to a point now where everyone's sort of pulling in the same direction? They recognise that electrification is the way forward?
I think it depends where in the world you are and who you're talking to. You know, if you speak to the owner of a classic Reva and ask them whether they would electrify it, they'd probably look at you like it was sort of sacrilege. You know, in the same way that, you know, ripping out a V8 from an old classic car and putting a battery in would probably go down pretty badly in those circles. So I think it really depends. Yeah, we've just done a project for a pair of tenders for a super yacht, and they, you know, that's a very discerning customer. They've got very specific requirements, but equally they're risk averse in how they operate the boats and what have you. But you know, that's new technology applied in a super cool way in a really applicable application. So I think it really depends who you're talking to, you know, and whether you, yeah, the diehard petrol heads are going to be harder to persuade to transition.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you just talk about applications and earlier when you were talking about Vita being more of a technology company, I was just wondering if you could walk us through the sort of range of boats and the range of products that Vita offers as well.
Yeah, so on the powertrain side, our focus has always been power and the high speed charging. So our systems start at the equivalent of around 150 horsepower and go up to around 600 horsepower, and they can be configured in a range of different ways, from a single drive to a twin drive with between 1 and 8 batteries. So there's quite a lot of flexibility in the architecture. Equally, they are configurable with jet drives or stern drives or Z drives and jets as well. So you know, in that regard, it really doesn't matter the size of the boat or its application or the preferred propulsion system. There's loads of flexibility in our technology, which is certainly helping sort of break down the barriers for people saying, you know, electrification is not relevant or it doesn't work, because we're trying to address that with having a flexible system as possible. On the boat side, we've got a 5.8 meter rib and a 7 meter rib. The Sea Dog and the Seal. Then we go up to a 10.5 meter, very high end, sort of open day boat called the Lion. And then we've also just recently launched a 10 person ferry, passenger ferry called the Sea Bus. So it's quite a broad range of different products for both recreational and commercial applications.
Okay, amazing. And just to focus on the sort of specs of each of those boats, I won't ask you to give me a rundown on every single boat and powertrain that you offer, but what's the sort of maximum range for an electric boat that Vita offers? Because again, this is all brand new to me, so I'm sort of learning on the spot. But yeah, what are the sort of the range and the sort of power output that the powertrains and the boats offer?
Yeah, I mean, what's really interesting is if you've got a small boat with a single battery, or a big boat with 6 batteries, proportionately the range doesn't enormously increase from one to the other, because obviously, you know, a bigger boat means more weight, more resistance and what have you. But it's fair to say that at a cruising speed of around 20 knots, our boats are doing 30 to 35 nautical miles. And then at lower speeds, they're doing in excess of 60 or 70 nautical miles. So sort of sub 5 knots. So which, you know, to some might not sound like that, you know, the range is that promising. But if you look at most people and the way that they operate boats, especially in a commercial application, a lot of it's low speed. And when it is high speed, it's relatively short distances. And they're often operating between ports where there is either access to or, you know, every port has electricity on the dock, whether it be AC charging, at slower speeds or increasingly DC charging. We work with a company called Aqua Superpower, who are installing the first CPO installing a network of DC chargers. And so there's the availability of charging is increasing day by day.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier, I don't know if you've already covered this, sorry, but charging infrastructure is a big part of what you do as well, isn't it? So can you just give us a bit more information on that and some of the progress you've made on that front?
Well, we work very closely with a company called Aqua Superpower. So it's a separate company to Vita. We share an investor, but their business model is to be the first CPO, so charge point operator for the marine space, and they're rolling out a network of high speed chargers between 75 and 150 kilowatt in key recreational and commercial boating locations globally. So there are chargers going into the UK, into France, Spain, Sweden. They're also going into North America. That's charged in Tahoe and California. I think Miami's about to launch. That's charged in the Caribbean. So there's that network is really helping, similarly to automotive, really helping the adoption and giving customers the kind of confidence that they can boat in the same way that they did before because they've got access and availability to these high speed charging network.
Okay, great. And just generally speaking for Vita, what have been some of the most recent sort of significant milestones for the company?
Well, there's something happening sort of every day in terms of sort of breakthroughs and what have you and developments in the technology. But certainly I think launching this, well, it's actually an Aquaround Vita initiative. We've just delivered a pair of electric superyacht tenders to a big new build project in Holland. We've supplied the powertrain to these tenders, and Aqua have supplied a very cool, fully integrated onboard charging system to the mothership. And I think for us that's been an amazing collaboration, but also shows this technology being applied at the most kind of the very high end, very discerning kind of customer base. So that's been a great achievement, but equally, we're seeing a lot of demand for our smallest boat, the Sea Dog, for commercial applications. And France is a really important market for us. There's now funding available to help incentivize commercial operators to go electric, and that's really changing the landscape a lot in terms of ports and marinas' ability to make that transition and improve the sustainability of their operations.
Yeah, so just to focus on the sort of markets you serve there, sorry, obviously you spoke about a lot of commercial business cases that you're working with. Is most of your work commercial or is a lot of it private as well? How big's the sort of split between your business there?
When I first joined Vita, I'd say it was almost 100% recreational. And there's been a real shift since I've been with the company. So I would say 70% of our business is now for commercial applications, especially with our own products. The supply of powertrains to third party boat builders, that is, I would say principally on the recreational side. But again, that landscape's changing too. We're seeing more and more builders of commercial boats seeing demand from operators and their customers, and therefore wanting to integrate an electric system. So the landscape is changing, but I would say the commercial market probably represents our principal interest at this stage.
Okay, great. I just wanted to focus, apologies if this is quite an ignorant question here, but like I said, I'm sort of learning on the spot as we go. Now, I just wanted to touch on the sort of manufacturing aspect of all of this and some of the biggest challenges that come with electrifying boats, sorry, because obviously, famously, water and electricity don't go together. So what is that manufacturing process like? How does the technology work? And yeah, I just wonder if you could give us a bit of an insight into that side of things as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, the marine environment is pretty harsh, and again, we've been very focused on developing boats for the sea as opposed to boats for inland waterways or lakes. Our boats are probably operating more in the Mediterranean Sea than anywhere else, which to anyone who's spent time on boats here knows is a pretty tough environment. So the marinization of the systems and the integration into that sort of, you know, wet environment has been very key for us. Albeit you've got to design a boat that's well built and well engineered and is designed in order to sort of protect these systems. So that's also been a big focus as well on the boat side. I think a lot of our core components I mentioned before are coming across from automotive. You know, we don't build batteries, we don't build motors, we don't build inverters. We source them from elsewhere. And so this is tried and tested kit that's been specifically designed to be operated in these sorts of environments. And you know, they're meeting DNV certification and all that sort of thing. So it's a combination really of us marinizing the systems we build. So a lot of the LV systems, but also all the HV wiring looms, but also sourcing the right kit from credible manufacturers who are able to give us kit that can withstand this sort of environment.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Now, just to finish things up, I'd like to end the podcast with this question most of the time, but what does the future have in store for Vita as a company, both over the short term and the long term future as well, without giving away any secrets or any news that you is embargoed at the minute? What things can we look forward to in the future from Vita?
Look, I think, well, as I said at the beginning, we're very much a marine technology company. The boats are a side of our business that we've sort of needed to do in order to fast track adoption and awareness. We want to be a powertrain supplier, and we want to be supplying powertrains to as many electric boats or many boat manufacturers and boats as possible. I think if the last 3 years have been anything to go by, this sector is only going to receive more interest and greater adoption, greater investment, you only need to look at broader sort of financial landscape in terms of the need to invest in more sustainable technologies. I think is going to serve this sector well. The marine industry is ripe and ready to be sort of mixed up a little bit, and I think electrification, you know, offers a solution to a huge tranche of boat operations. There's obviously hydrogen is obviously something that people talk about a lot. I think it definitely has an application, but not at the smaller end of the market. And that's the market that we're principally kind of focused on, sub 12 meters. So look, I think there's a real ground shift towards this, and I think there's going to be, you know, there's some really exciting companies out there, both Vita and elsewhere, that are going to really sort of change the landscape of the marine environment, which I think would just be very exciting to sort of be a part of and watch as it unravels.
That's all for this episode. Many thanks for listening. And if you liked it, then please do check out all our other episodes and be sure to subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from to make sure you get every single episode as soon as it's released. For daily news coverage, features and much more, you can also head over to evpowered.co.uk. Thanks once again for listening, and we'll see you on the very next episode of the Everything EV podcast.